Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I feel a little bit, I guess, like Rush Limbaugh today. Greetings from sunny South Florida. I'm way southwest Florida. We escaped North Carolina. You can tell on me if you'd like. That was Friday night. We had an interesting little encounter at the border coming into Florida where they were asking questions. Felt like Checkpoint Charlie. That was very strange and abnormal, certainly not the norm as we travel from state to state here in the United States of America, if it's still that. So I'll tell you that story here in a little bit. Some other things that we want to do today as we kind of unpack several different things here on the air. But wanted to start, and Keith, listening back in beautiful Winston-Salem, North Carolina, you'll have to bring John up here in a second, because I can't bring up my call screen right now, so I can't see that John's on the line. But I know that he is. John Somerville of Transworld Radio. And we're going to be talking about something that we can do, taking our minds and our eyes and our spirits and even our dollars off of ourselves. And something that's really, really easy to do to help spread the gospel around the world. And then we're going to talk about in segments two and three, several COVID stories that I want to run you through and some new information coming out, several things there. We're going to kind of rapid fire our way through that when we get to it in the second and third segment. And then the fourth segment, we'll pay attention to what's going on financially, which is changing day by day by day. But Keith, if you could go ahead and bring up John Somerville of Transworld Radio. AfricaNeedsJesus.com is something we're going to talk about here right quick, with an opportunity for you to be a part of what God is doing over there. AfricaNeedsJesus.com. John Somerville, are you there?
Steve, great to be with you again.
How are you, buddy? Thanks for calling in. I'm assuming you're in North Carolina. I'm down here in sunny South Florida, so I don't know who has the better deal today.
I don't know about you, but it's absolutely gorgeous here, so I can't even lust after being in Florida.
Well, it's great to have you on again, and we appreciate all that you're doing. Tell everybody just real quick about Transworld Radio, which has been around and has just a great history, great story, and then we'll talk about AfricaNeedsJesus.com.
Well, TWR has been around since 1954. We've been broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like Truth Radio does, every single day. Our objective is to tell people about Christ who wouldn't have an opportunity to hear about him any other way. Radio can get there. Radio is a great tool to be able to do it. And we're doing that now in 230 languages.
Man.
We hear from people all over the globe in more than 170 countries every year. And are you ready for this? More than 4 billion people, with a B, 4 billion people are able to turn on their radio and hear about the good news of Jesus in a language that they can understand. That's Transworld Radio, and I think the more you dig in, you find out about Transworld Radio, the more you're going to fall in love with this ministry, because God is doing some amazing things through it.
Yeah, it really is totally amazing. All these years as Transworld Radio reaching pretty much the number one gospel influence on the planet just because of radio. And we take that for granted here in America in the Western context. We all have a radio, we all have computers, we all have smartphones, but a lot of people in the world, specifically in Africa, where I've been a couple times, do not have that luxury. So how can we help be a part of what Transworld Radio is doing in Africa, getting people actual radios?
Well, Steve, let me tell you. I was in Africa last year twice, two different times. One in the country of Benin, which is just on the west side of Nigeria. Once in Malawi. Now, both these countries are very, very poor. And I had the opportunity while I was in Malawi to be able to pass out radios. These are wind-up radios. And the reason we give out wind-up radios is because a lot of them don't have access to electricity. Many of them would not be able to afford batteries. And so we give a wind-up radio, so they wind it up like you would a clock with a handle on the side of it, and they're able to tune in Transworld Radio programs. Now, interestingly, we had a number of different places where we went, but one of the ones that were just outstanding to me in my memory was we're driving back after having given out radios, and our director says, hey, let's just stop randomly at a house and give away a radio. Now, I don't know about you, Steve, but I don't just stop at people's houses randomly when I'm traveling around the U.S. And so we stop at this house. It has a thatch roof made of homemade bricks that they made out of clay.
Wow.
Kids are playing in the dirt in the front yard because there is no grass. And there's laundry hanging on the line. And we walk up and we introduce ourselves from Transworld Radio. They are just, wow, Transworld Radio, really? And we want to give you a radio. Really? A radio? They don't have a radio, and they would love to have a radio. And I thought to myself, wait, if they don't have a radio, how do they know about Transworld Radio? Because they're so grateful, they're so overflowing, they know so much about Transworld Radio. How do they know about us? Here, when they're working out in their fields, doing their farming, they listen to their neighbor's radio as wow. they're doing it. So now their family is going to have their own radio to bring in the house and to be able to listen to the gospel through Transworld Radio. You know, that's how impressed I was when people are hearing the gospel for the very first time, or people are having a radio so they can hear the gospel and be discipled in their faith. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to give these radios to people who wouldn't have an opportunity to hear about them. We're not giving out radios just willy-nilly. We're giving them out to people who don't have a radio, who don't have a cell phone, who wouldn't have access to the gospel. And you make it possible today when you make a call and make a gift. Our phone number is 888-988-5656. It's a wind-up yeah. radio so that they don't have to have batteries or electricity, and we're putting them in the hands of people who would not have an opportunity to hear about the gospel any other way.
Which is really amazing, because you think about somebody that doesn't know Jesus that hears the gospel, somebody that just met Jesus, maybe just came into the kingdom, or somebody that's been walking with the Lord for years. We all know, especially here in the Western context, because we're spoiled this way, we all know how much we need to be discipled, that we need that Christian influence, we need to kind of continually stay in the Word and hear the Word. And these are people, and like you said, $75 for a wind-up radio. Again, this is, we don't even think like this. This is so remote to us in the Western context. But for $75, especially when we're not spending our money at Starbucks these days, what a great opportunity to bring the gospel, I mean, to some other part of the world in a context that most of us, like you said, John, I mean, I've been to Kenya a couple of times and out in the bush where they had nothing, but just amazing opportunity to be able to do that.
Well, God is using this in such big ways, too. People love these radios, and people are so excited. We distributed some of these radios to a blind school, and it was interesting. We didn't have enough radios for them. There was almost an uproar.
Yeah. So incredible.
You know, almost a rebellion in the school.
Yeah, I bet. Well, we're up against a break, John. But we're going to keep talking about it. I'll keep giving out the website, AfricaNeedsJesus.com. John, thanks for calling in, buddy.
So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble live from sunny South Florida. I'm pulling a page from Rush Limbaugh's book today and down here for the week. And let me just tell you this story right quick, and then I've got a couple of clips I want to play from you from my MacBook Pro down here in South Florida via my other headset on my mobile unit as I'm doing Facebook Live from the screen porch of my father-in-law's place here in Naples, Florida. So we're driving down here. I already knew they have checkpoints, right? So you're driving down I-95. There's checkpoints coming into Florida from the north, and there's checkpoints coming into Florida on I-10 if you're coming from Louisiana, because the hotspot, you know, New Orleans was a hotspot, obviously New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. So we rented a big SUV to get down here, and we've got Massachusetts plates on it. Okay, so I videoed this whole thing. You can go look at it on my Facebook pages. I videoed the whole thing. We pull up. There's state police everywhere. They've got the first two exits when you get into Florida on I-95 headed south. They got the first two exits closed down so you can't escape. Then they pull you into a weigh station. Trucks they allow to keep going, but regular passenger cars, they pull you into the weigh station. This was all very surreal, as you could imagine. And again, we're just inside the Florida border on I-95. And so we have Massachusetts plates. We pull up to these just look like temporary employees. They weren't dressed up in any official garb. There were a lot of state police around, but not these three. They just look like regular people that they just gave a job to. So we pull up. My wife's driving at this point, and I'm filming. And they said, you know, where are you coming from? North Carolina. Okay, go on through. That's it. Now, there was a car in front of us, an SUV in front of us, with New York plates. So they noticed that. And they pulled them back around because the deal is here. They're going to ask you to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. And I think they're finding out what your destination is, contact information, all that kind of stuff, right? Big brother to the nth degree. But then could we have been lying? Obviously, we could have been lying through our teeth. They didn't ask for an ID. They didn't check anything. So my point is, why would they do this? If they're not actually painstakingly checking, why would they do it? I just think it's intimidation. That's all. Hey, you're going to be checked. They're pulling cars over. So if you're coming down from New York or Connecticut or New Jersey, don't come down here. We don't want you. Which, coming from a hotspot, I can understand that. But the fact that they're not really enforcing it, unless you literally have plates on, like New York plates or New Jersey plates or Connecticut plates. And so we just breezed right through it. It was so bizarre. It really was. It was a surreal thing that I'm sitting there going, okay, here we are in the United States of America. I'm hitting Checkpoint Charlie within the confines of our own country. So that was really disturbing. But praise the Lord, we got through. So we're down here all week, and if you want to turn me in, go ahead. All right, so some COVID stories. So this video has been going around. I shared this a couple of days ago. Two ER doctors that own an urgent care series of clinics in California. So they're starting to look at the numbers. They're actually seeing people with COVID-19. This is up to about 2 million views now. It just came out late last week. And they did a press conference. This is just one little clip from the press conference that you have to hear this. Okay, this is part of the actual information campaign that I'm on, Steve Dace is on, many others are on. Steve was on last week, he's on the Blaze Network, and especially about antibodies. But these guys are just, they're ER physicians, they've been at this for 20 plus years, using the actual numbers that are out there, then questioning the reaction, i.e. overreaction of our entire nation, a one-size-fits-all, which President Trump has got to do something about this, and you're starting to see it in some states, which is encouraging, and I'm happy about that. But you just got to listen to this. This is the first one, a short clip when they're talking to these guys, Dr. Erickson and another guy, ER doctors out in California.
Yeah, Jessica, the doctors say that they've compiled their own data of coronavirus cases here in Kern County and used their research from the cases here to cross-reference them with numbers across the nation and really across the globe. They say that that data shows that healthy people don't need to shelter in place anymore. And of course, that's going against what a lot of health experts have been telling us so far.
I say, do we need to still shelter in place? Our answer is emphatically no. Do we need businesses to be shut down? Emphatically, no. Do we need to test them and get them back to work? Yes, we do.
Doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi, both co-owners of the 5 accelerated urgent care facilities in Kern County, say they have tested 5,213 patients within the county for the coronavirus. That makes up for over half of all testing done here. They say their data and research qualifies their statement.
Is the flu less dangerous than COVID? Let's look at the death rates. No, it's not. They're similar in prevalence and in death rate. So we are saying that our response now that we know the facts, it's time to get back to work.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says otherwise, with national research showing COVID-19 cases to be...
By the way, who died and made Anthony Fauci the Pope in terms of all things COVID? Fauci and Birx. So this goes back to early in the year. I'm cutting the president all kinds of slack. I think he deserves it. I think in many ways he's done a great job. I think there was a lot of panic up there. He's talking to the head of the CDC. He's talking to the National Institutes of Health. And Fauci's there, who's been in the government for, I don't know, 450 years. And Dr. Birx is there. And they're saying, sir, this thing's horrendous. It's come out of, it's here in America now. We're going to lose 2 million people unless we do something. And the president of the United States, rightfully so, would be like, holy cow, we have to do something. And then, of course, they just went with that. Now, what's going on with Birx and Fauci behind the scenes and Fauci, especially Fauci's ties to Bill Gates and the whole vaccination world and all that stuff? That again, this is like a diamond with a lot of different facets. But so much about this stinks to me. And every day that goes by and we're getting more information like these guys are talking about, it stinks to me. Now, why the president at the time? Now, this is just obviously, what do we know, really? We're on the outside looking inside, right? We're on the outside looking in. So, but here's where I'm really disappointed. I think it would have been awesome early on when you've got people telling you, sir, we have to shut the whole country down. I'd be like, okay, within 24 hours, I want the 10 smartest virologists, epidemiologists, people that don't agree with you. I want them in my office. You get them here within 24 hours. Or you get them here within 12 hours. The president of the United States says that it'll happen. Go get them, call them, get a jet. Bring them in here. I want everybody that disagrees with you, that's just as smart or smarter than you, sitting in the Oval Office tomorrow by noon. Make it happen right now, because I'm not going to shut down this entire country because of you two. That's not enough. That's not enough information. So hold the horses here just a second and go get me some people that disagree with you. And let's go get some different looks here. Let's have it out. Because he's just listening to people that have been a part of the federal government for decades. And immediate. But Donald Trump cares about the country. He's looking at the greatest economy, perhaps, that we've ever had. And you want to shut down the country. 2 million people dead. It's an election year. All that stuff. Why he didn't do that? I don't know. I'm just taking an educated guess that all that's... But that's what I think he should have done. Okay? So back to these guys, because I want you to hear all of this.
10 times as lethal than the flu. But Fauci's decades of experience as an immunologist and physician holds no weight
One
in the
attitude.
Eyes of Erickson and Masihi.
We're actually seeing the patients. Dr. Fauci hasn't seen a patient for 20 years.
White House health officials have reported more than 800,000 COVID-19 cases with just over 46,000 deaths across the nation. But Erickson says that quarantining is a health hazard in and of
Listen
itself.
Listen to this. Super important.
We understand microbiology. We understand immunology. And we want strong immune systems. I don't want to hide in my home, develop a weak immune system, and then come out and get diseased.
Reporting the disease, Eric's...
Okay, so hear what he's saying, because he's talking a little bit about herd immunity as well. Herd immunity. So when you stay inside and you hide, here's what's going to happen. Come November, when it gets cold out again, because now they're telling people, hey, go south, get to the heat and the humidity, because the virus can't survive. Really, no kidding. That's not new news. So now they're telling people, guess what? In November, when it gets cold again, it's going to come back around. What are we going to do? Stay inside? There's some more details here. Again, I've said it before. I'm going to stick to this, that I totally believe we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, live from sunny South Florida. We'll be right back with more on this when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from sunny South Florida. I'll be here all week, but don't tell anybody. So I wanted you to hear this one. This was out of Illinois, the Illinois Department of Health, and even the coronavirus death numbers are all whacked out and they're being inflated. And this is an official in the state of Illinois just coming right out at a press conference and just explaining it. So you got to hear this. Check this out.
Illinois' virus-related death toll continues to climb. The director of public health took time today to explain how the department rules someone an actual COVID death. It can be a little confusing. She says...
No kidding. So here's, let me get to that part.
That is classified.
She actually comes out and explains it.
We were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live. And then you also were found to have COVID. That would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if, technically, even if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So
even if you died of a clear alternate cause at the time, it's still listed as a COVID death. Now, why would they do that? Because they need the numbers to work for them. They need the numbers to justify what we've just done to ourselves under the leadership of the feds, the state, and the local government. Okay? They need it to work. So, like, there's this story. This was out of the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro. Drug overdose and head trauma deaths added to coronavirus death toll. So that was out in L.A. Though the death of the unidentified man was caused by a drug overdose, he also tested positive for novel coronavirus, which was coded as a significant continuing condition. What? Prove that. You can't. But they counted it that way. That was a drug overdose. Here's another one. Last month, a 61-year-old Pennsylvania man who died from a head injury and tested positive for COVID-19 was added to the coronavirus death toll, too. So you see, all the numbers here are off. Now, again, a disclaimer that I've made time and time again is that I am by no means... downgrading the seriousness, the brokenness of all of those that have lost their lives, all their family, all their friends, everybody involved with that, and the people that are very seriously ill. This is not mutually exclusive. You can look out for the economy. You can look out for the country. You can look out for the unemployed. You can look out for small business owners that are tanking and look out for people that are sick all at the same time. Isn't that amazing? You can actually do this. So I think with all the crazy stuff going on in the press, that's why the White House canceled this week's coronavirus briefings, because Trump's just at the end of his wits here. And he, you know, there was that, the longer those press conferences go, the worse it is for him. Because he'll say some things in the heat of the moment, just like the disinfectant thing. And he was talking about some information that he'd been that he had received and had been talked about in terms of even using ultraviolet light, which acts as a disinfectant outside. And then he just kind of confuses stuff together. But the media, who's looking for anything and everything to trash the guy, jumps all over it. And now you got people saying, "Oh, I have people calling the hospital saying the president told him to drink bleach." That's so ridiculous. God help us if there's people that actually would think like that. But it's just the gotcha thing all the time. So I'm glad he canceled these. And that's the 3 hours ad nauseum. Okay? It just gets old. All right, one thing about North Carolina. So reopen NC tomorrow, 11 a.m., downtown Raleigh. I wish I could be there to cover it myself. A buddy of mine, Jake McCauley, who teaches about the Constitution all over the country, might be subbing for me. So we're going to do something live on Facebook tomorrow starting at about 10:45 a.m. Eastern time. It'll be week number 3, Reopen NC. If you're a North Carolina resident, you got to join that group on Facebook. It's a closed group, but it starts at 11 a.m., same location, parking lot, right by the legislative building. And by the way, in terms of fake news, I put some stuff up about this. Our local paper, which is owned by McClatchy, which is uber liberal, the News and Observer put up a story on the 22nd. Reopen NC protesters heckled a nurse about her weight, why she stayed strong. So she's there saying, "Well, I work with all these people, all these COVID-19 people. I've held hands of people that were dying." And then once I read that, I'm like, "Well, then why are you going to a large protest with a bunch of people? Why are you going there? That sounds remarkably irresponsible." But then this whole article in the News and Observer painted her out as the helpless victim. Right. But then I started getting information once I shared that, because I'm going, OK, I'm going to choose to believe her. And especially if you're a Christian, we need to watch how we treat people, no matter what the situation. Then I started getting information on Facebook from other people, including a mom who actually had an interaction with this woman, this nurse. And I did some research. She actually is a nurse in Winston-Salem. And she came, before the 11 o'clock start, when she stood on these steps and acted all calm and quiet, she walked across the parking lot, went to this mom with her young 2-year-old son in a stroller, bent down really close to the kid and said, "Aw, we intubate little guys like you all the time." Now, that's just sick. And then I heard from other people that she was heckling and saying rude things to everybody else. But then McClatchy, News and Observer, makes her out to be this nice woman who cares about everybody, who just stood her ground and didn't say anything, and everybody else, all these crazy reopened people, were nasty. That was talk about fake news. I, of course, emailed the guy at the News and Observer. He hasn't responded. And the little thing that she's wearing, "Rally together and die alone." Charming. So you got to make sure, I have to make sure, we all have to make sure we're paying attention to these news articles, because everybody's being sold all the time. Just remember that. I'm Mr. Skeptical, and that's true, okay? Back to the antibody thing. So in New York City, nearly 3 million New Yorkers have had coronavirus, antibody study suggests. And Cuomo's doing that now. So that's like 2.7 million people, which then drops the death rate in New York City drastically. Okay, drops it drastically, because they're off by factors of 10 and 20 and 30 around the country. That was New York City. There was another one. Coronavirus antibodies present nearly 25% of all New York City residents, Cuomo says. And so you start sitting there going back to what the doctor said. Okay, hold on a second. This is not a one size fits all. This is the first time that we've quarantined the healthy as well as the sick. And so you've got this one size fits all. We brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. And I really think that's what's showing up here. As we get more and more information, as these antibody tests, they did them out in California, they've done them in Boston, they're doing them in New York, they're starting to do more of them around the country. I just found out earlier today that actually you can go get one in one of the areas around Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to definitely sign up and go get one of those, because I think I had it already. I think our kids had it back in February. So all the numbers start changing. But what will the government do with that? Because by admitting to all these things, they're going to have to admit, holy cow, we just train wrecked the entire economy. For every one person that's died of coronavirus, which is serious and terrible, we've destroyed the jobs of 600 or 700 other people. And we're going to be finding out soon over the next few months how many businesses are not coming back. It's just over and over and over again. And now we've got food issues showing up. So in like Tyson Foods just came out and said, "We're having to kill a whole lot of chickens, like 2 million of them. And because processing plants are being shut down because of the coronavirus scare, we're not going to be able, we can't process." And so all of a sudden, we're going to start seeing this show up in the grocery stores. Coronavirus in Minnesota, 200,000 pigs may be put down due to processing plant closures. So 200,000 pigs just in one particular location. That's Minnesota. And then you have Tyson Foods coming out and saying it. This is just crazy stuff, you guys. It's just crazy. And so what do you do with that? Yeah, here's the Tyson Foods story, okay? Tyson Foods. The food supply chain is breaking, Tyson says, as plants close. Tyson Foods is warning that millions of pounds of meat will disappear from the supply chain as the coronavirus pandemic pushes food processing plants to close. The food supply chain is breaking, wrote board chairman John Tyson in a full-page advertisement published Sunday in the New York Times. Have you heard about that? Neither have I. U.S. farmers don't have anywhere to sell their livestock, he said, adding that millions of animals, chickens, pigs, and cattle, will be depopulated because of the closure of our processing facilities. That's just a nice print word for killed. They're just going to have to destroy all these things. There will be limited supply of our products available in grocery stores until we're able to reopen our facilities that are currently closed. And places like that are tricky. That's why New York City got hammered, because you have enclosed places with tons of people on top of each other. That is a situation that's almost entirely unique in America to New York City. So, hey, Governor Cooper here in North Carolina, I know how much you would love for North Carolina to be New York. I know that would be just a satisfying dream come true for you, but we're not. 49 other states in this country are not like New York State. But yet, we're all doing the same thing. We're all following the same program. We're all following the same playbook. That's insane. And it's one story in and out and in and out and in and out. Okay? And all I'm doing is finding actual studies, actual information. Somebody on Facebook Live, I'm sorry, but I don't believe anything news reports you and Dennis Michael Lynch. Oh, maybe it's anybody other than us. I have no dog in this fight other than the truth. I have no horse in this race other than the truth. Okay, that's all I'm after here. And I'm not after it out of self-interest, because I'm still on the radio. I'm still teaching my classes. And so we haven't lost a small business because of this. I'm not unemployed. I haven't been furloughed. But there's millions and millions and tens of millions of people that have. And as people of the book, as followers of Jesus Christ, our ultimate allegiance is to God, which means our ultimate allegiance is to the truth. My ultimate allegiance isn't to the Republican Party. It's not to conservatism. It's not to Donald Trump. It's not even to America at large. My ultimate allegiance is to God himself, which means if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, our ultimate allegiance is to the truth each and every time. The truth, the truth, the truth, no matter where it leads you. And in this case, the truth is leading us to most likely the biggest colossal mismanagement in the history of America, certainly, maybe in the history of the world. That we're destroying our economy. And we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. So we need to be prayerful people. Praying for the president. Praying for everybody involved. Praying for the leaders. Especially praying for the truth to prevail. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Feeling a little bit like Rush Limbaugh today, because I can say that we're live from sunny South Florida. And it's early in the week. Obviously, it's Monday. So that's when we talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, as always. And so many different things to kind of monitor here as the economy continues to get body blow after body blow, and the federal reaction to the economy and what they're doing. So we have to really make sure we're paying attention to these things. I think Keith, my producer back in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, I think we've got David on the line already. David, are you there?
I'm here, Steve.
Excellent. Good to hear your voice. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Excellent. Got some shocking news today. But we'll talk about that after we talk about the important things, as you say, the scripture.
Yeah, let's start in the passage of scripture. That's always, especially when we're talking about everything going on in the economic world, we should definitely ground ourselves in God's word before we dine on that craziness. So yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Let's start there. Go right ahead.
And that's why I chose this scripture. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an internal glory that far outweighs them all. I almost said monetary troubles, but momentary troubles. I want to change scripture. So life has challenges, obviously, and the world is facing a challenge. And, you know, the world is us. We face challenges, and just as because we're believers does not mean we're immune from that. In fact, God wants to shape us into his image through these challenges, what I believe Scripture talks about. And so, you know, our focus is not earthbound, but it's heavenbound. So during times like these, instead of, you know, being frustrated we can't go outside or do certain things like we used to, take our spouse out to dinner, let's embrace it and say it's only for a moment. And during these times, Lord, what are you trying to form in me?
Yeah, that's such a great point. And a buddy of mine on Facebook earlier today, I thought this was just a powerful reminder. I said, because we're all sitting there going, hey, let's go back to the way it was. I want to go back to the way it was. Let's go back to normal. And the bigger question is, maybe that God doesn't want us to go back to the way it was.
Yeah,
maybe exactly. maybe the whole point of this for us as followers of Jesus Christ is that there's something that God wants us to adjust in our lives. Such an important message and really a pregnant time for us to be growing in our faith and understanding of the Lord and his word and what we're supposed to be doing here in this world, especially when the world is confused and dark. That's not part of our gig. That's not part of our modus operandi anymore. We're not given over to fear. And the people perish for lack of judgment and understanding and wisdom and knowledge, but we have that. So it's such a great reminder for our light and momentary troubles. And, of course, the that they use monetary is also part of those momentary troubles. So some important thing to react to there. But you said some big things going on this week, so help us to understand what we're looking forward to here.
Well, what's happening today and this week is there's the reports are coming out from Apple and Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, Alphabet. There's actually 20%. That represents 20% of the S&P companies. So we're going to see 197 companies come out and report their earnings, and it's going to be probably brutal because what we've learned here through the coronavirus, COVID-19, is that most companies have, you know, laid off workers or not, you know, businesses are not being. And so we're waiting for this key event. Let me correct the number. 173 companies this week of the S&P 500 are reporting. But the analysts are saying there's going to be at least a 15% decline in earnings overall. But some sectors like oil is going to be as down as much as 68%. That's one thing that's being announced this week. And then the Fed's going to come out tomorrow and also on Wednesday and probably try and calm the markets, calm the fears, calm the economy, and say a few things.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's just amazing to think about that. I mean, the Congressional Budget Office last week was saying, okay, we're going to see GDP in the second quarter down 40%. We're going to see 13 to 15% unemployment. We already have 27 million unemployed that we know of. And, of course, the budget deficit now is ballooning. It was originally supposed to be about $1 trillion. Now it's going to be about $4 trillion. And it's just one thing after another. So, like, I thought the Fed was pretty much out of bullets. So what are they going to tell us this week?
Well, it's not necessarily they're going to tell us anything unless they repeat what they just made a big announcement. I spent some time over the weekend, Steve, and I'm shocked. Probably the biggest shock of my life in 26 years being in the financial industry.
You're not making me feel any better, but go ahead.
Forbes magazine reported it. They show a picture of a nuclear bomb, and the title of it is called The Fed Fires the Big One. So here's the deal. You know, banks are always required to have money on account. In the first 50 years of the Fed, banks were required to have 20% of their holdings on account. Most recently, they were required to have 10% of their holdings as an asset, just in case, you know, we go through a downturn like 2008. Well, that all changed. On March 26th, the Fed implemented a plan that they discussed on the 15th of March, and now banks don't need any reserves on accounts. Zero. And it looks like the Fed might be doing away with using what you call a fractional reserve. I'm still looking into that, so don't call me out as this is, he said this on air, that this is the gospel. What I do know is the Fed has not reversed plans to reimpose reserve requirements. They said this in a Q&A on their website. I read all about it. But it looks like when you look at the Fed balance sheet, In 2008, the Fed printed $1 trillion in 8 months. $1 trillion in 8 months. What they've done recently is $2 trillion in 6 weeks. But they've not bought assets for that. So this tells me that this announcement, I'm trying to find the factual side of this, by the Fed announcing it. I don't know if we're going to see that in the near term, but it looks like they might have gone off a fractional reserve where they have to have an asset on hand to print 10 times more money to put in the system. So it looks really, really bad right now what the Fed is doing. They took all the bumpers away.
Okay, so just explain to us so we understand this. Why would the Fed then, like this is changing decades of policy. Why would the Fed all of a sudden say, banks don't have to have any cash reserves whatsoever? Why would they do that?
Well, they actually came out and said why on their website. It's because of the coronavirus. They need to put as much cash into the system and not required to have banks as a backup. So they want to just obliterate all their cash on hand. I'm not talking about physical money, although that shrank to zero also. I'm talking about an asset that the bank has, an account that they're not required to have that. They want to put that money to work. So this is just unheard of. I mean, this breaks Dodd-Frank Act. This breaks all banking common sense. It just breaks all financial sense. It doesn't make any sense. And it also says when we move to a trouble time, and we're not out of the woods at all yet. In fact, we might have the worst is still yet to come. And I'm talking about the market. I'm talking about the banking industry now. This would completely initiate a bail-in, because there's no assets on account to fall back on.
Right. Where do you go after that? And these are part of the things. And I have a friend on Facebook that reminded me of this. Thanks, Susan. That these were part of the measures that were put in after 2008. Right. One of the things we're trying to keep banks from going insolvent is to make sure that they actually have assets to back everything up. Now they're sitting here saying 12 years later, forget that.
It's the too big to fail theory they just threw out the door. And, you know, in response to this, a day or so, 2 days after this, the FDIC chairwoman, Jelena McWilliams, came out and put a video out there saying, don't withdraw your money out of the bank. Your money is safe. The FDIC is fine. You know, she sees the significance of this huge, and that's just an understatement, this atomic bomb, this nuclear bomb that was just released by the Fed. This is just a big, I'm speechless of trying to find the advert of how challenging this is going to be down the road. There's no safeguard anymore. There is no safety belt. There is no airbag. There's nothing to stop this from going sour when we get into a bad environment. And that's why you got to get some gold.
Yeah, you need to diversify, which you talk about all the time. And again, if you've listened to the show for long, we actually don't spend a lot of time talking about gold. David usually mentions it at the end of the show in terms of a diversification. But we're looking at this. And then, of course, the market, knowing this happened over the weekend, the market's up, 300 points today. And so are we in a bear market? Are we in a bull market? Or are we just in a blind dog market? What are we in?
So there's a disconnect that's happening between the market and actually the economy. And that's being seen by what is happening, you know, because we're in a bear market and we're going to have a technical bear market. But a bear market typically lasts 6 to 9 months of pullback. We haven't had that yet. And the recovery is 4 years. But we're in a low volume economic environment of stocks, which is very indicative of a bear market. So there is this disconnect that's happening between Wall Street and Main Street.
Man, it's just every day, David, on the air, and we're down here in Florida. It's not like I'm on a vacation, because I'm not. We're just doing life from a different location. But every day, my head just shakes more. And I'm going, well, where is the bottom of any of this? Where does sanity come back into the picture at all? And we need to be, just like we started with Scripture, we need to be in God's Word. We need to be in prayer, because this is so far beyond human understanding and human ability. The only way anybody can handle this is God has to intervene. We need to cry out for his intervention. For people to get more information about diversifying, how to use gold as an asset in their diversification, David, how do they get a hold of you?
They can call us the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882, or they can go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
Well, neither one of us are at a loss for words very often, but obviously we are today, and that's not a good sign. David Fisher, thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon. I really appreciate you calling in and helping us out.
Sounds good, my friend.
All right, pal. God bless you. We'll talk soon. All right, friends. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.